All right, let's come before the Lord in prayer and ask him to guide us as we look at his word. Our Father, thank you for how Dot was able to read your holy scriptures. Even as she read it, you know, it's so important that we just get blown away by how you've preserved your word over the centuries and millenniums. We thank you that we have it in our hands and that we're able to read it in our own language, and you've preserved it for us to read. And we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would minister through your inspired truth. Thank you that your word is like no other word. And we ask that we would be good students of your word, reading it in our own lives personally, but also at church. Lord, we want to just highlight and teach from your word. So please, would you help us now as we open it and read from Luke 2? And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was only 6 days ago when it was Christmas. Isn't that amazing to say that? 6 days? No way. But it was only 6 days ago. So 6 days ago, I can remember some really big R words. It was so good to reflect upon the great, great love of God in sending Jesus into our world. God's indescribable gift. What love that he should give us Jesus. And we also wanted to rejoice in the birth of Jesus, because he's our Saviour. The Saviour is born. It should be something that makes you want to just get up on your feet and just be so glad. The Saviour was born. Hope came into our world. I feel like singing Oh Holy Night. What a great song that captures that. And and also, we got to see a really, really important response that humans need to make. Otherwise, Jesus will not save us. He can, but he won't, because we haven't done something. So we've got to learn. The big issue is, we tend to, with the rest of the world, the first R word is reject. We want to reject Jesus. We push him away. But we're not to do that. We're meant to receive Jesus. Like we receive a gift, we are to receive Jesus and know him as our Lord and Saviour. Isn't that true? I hope you're part of that lot, that good lot. The receivers of God's goodness and grace, receiving Jesus. Now, just thinking about that lot out there in the world, and I know some of us might be still in this group, we haven't come to that place of receiving Jesus. And for the majority of our world, Christmas has come, and Christmas has gone, and even they might say, good riddance. But I don't know about you, I can't say that, because the theme of Christmas continues on. Today, tomorrow. I can't help but marvel at God becoming a human being. Emmanuel. God coming into our world and coming into our world to do incredible things. Not just to rub shoulders with us, but to teach us and to show us the right way and to open the way of salvation through his death and resurrection. And I'm glad in the Bible, you don't just have all these story about Jesus' birth and that's it, end of story. Are you glad about that? It goes on. And this morning, as we continue in Luke's gospel, we're going to continue on after the birth of Jesus to see wonderful things. And the wonderful things are these headings, if you want to write these down for those who take notes. We're going to be looking at the seeking shepherds. Seeking shepherds. We're going to look at these words, submission and sacrifice. And then we're going to look at a man that Dot read out about, Simeon. Simeon's sight. Simeon's sight. Boy, did he have eyes to see. So let's get into it. Let's have a look at God's word this morning. And I'm going to start off by reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that's from the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." That's a good move, shepherds. All right, see what they're doing? They're not staying put, settling the sheep, because they're a little bit spooked by the angels. They're not staying, just taking in the experience. Wow, did you see that? That was amazing. No, they took off. Don't know what happened to the sheep, just left behind. Or maybe all the sheep came. I'm trying to work out what would have happened. Probably too many sheep to come into the stable. But anyway, they sought Jesus. There it is. That's a big thing. They were seeking shepherds. They went to seek Jesus in the town of Bethlehem. And you remember how they knew something very special? There was a sign. The sign was, you'll find a baby wrapped in cloth lying in a manger. Unheard of. You don't put a baby in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. And so they went seeking Jesus and they found him. How good is that? I love that part of the story. The seeking shepherds. And I've got to tell you, as I think of those shepherds, I can't help but see a fantastic picture of how we are meant to be as well. So here we are, end of 2023. What have you been seeking all through this year? What are you seeking for next year? Here are the few things that come to mind when I think of human beings. We seek fame and fortune. We seek health and happiness. We seek pleasure or power. We seek money and materialism. And if you're seeking those things, you're seeking the wrong thing. You're meant to be seeking Jesus. He's everything. And I'm so glad those shepherds sought the Saviour. What a great picture they are to us, to be like them, seeking Jesus. You know, it's so easy to side with the world and that pressure that comes from the world, and that is to push Jesus away. It's so easy to leave seeking Jesus because of our own apprehensions. We've got apprehensions about Jesus. We've got our own biases against him, and we keep him a distance. And if you're still there, you've got to break that. Break it down. And you need to seek the true Jesus. Oh, you know how you can do that? So easy. Get a Bible and start reading the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And see who the real Jesus is. And allow God's word to speak to you and to show you the glory and the wonder of this person called Jesus. And the promise is if you seek Jesus, you will, how does it go? You'll find him. You'll find him. I've got to read some passages in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So it's got to be genuine with all your heart. You've got to realize that's it. I'm going to seek Jesus and you will find him. And when we seek Jesus, there's another passage I'm going to read to you that's in regard to seeking Jesus for a very special purpose. And that should be number one. I know there's many big things like knowing God, but here's the big one. To be saved. To be saved, to be right with God. And on Isaiah chapter 55, 6 and 7, we read, seek the Lord while he may be found. Can he be found? Yes. Seek the Lord while he may be found. He can be found right up until the time when Christ returns. There is salvation for anyone who will seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked, and that's all of us actually, let the wicked forsake his way, their ways, and the unrighteous person their thoughts, and let them return to the Lord, and he'll have compassion on them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Wow, I'm so drawn to Jesus. When I think of, I can seek him and find him, I can seek him and be abundantly pardoned, even though I look at my life and go, I'm so unworthy. Wow, what a saviour to seek. Why on earth does the world push him away? I have no idea. But I once was there too. I was insane. That's how we are. Jesus is everything we need. And just thinking of his words to anybody who's not there yet, who's not a Christian yet, Jesus says to us, seek me. And the promise in John chapter 6 verse 37 is, the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. That's everyone. He will never push anyone away. And John chapter 6 verse 35, for those who are Christians, we need to seek him today, tomorrow, every day. Seek him every day. Are you? It's not a matter of just coming to know Jesus, get baptized, here I am, and that's it. We're meant to be seeking Jesus every day. And I want to read John chapter 6 verse 35 when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is saying, I am the one who can satisfy you fully. Do you believe that? Seek him. He's everything. So let's now continue reading on about the shepherds. And we have in the next few verses, in verses 16 to 20, some great things that happened. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, They made known the statement which had been told them about this child. What statement is that? Well, it's what the angel had declared to the shepherds. Do you remember what the angel declared? Do not be afraid. I bring you, you should all know this, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the town of David, our Saviour has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. So the shepherds are simply telling Mary and Joseph and anyone else who might be there that great declaration by the angel. They are proclaiming to everyone that with excitement about what the angel had said about Jesus. Can you imagine that? I reckon they would have just been so like on cloud nine and would have been so enthusiastic and wanted to let the whole world know about this baby Jesus. What do you reckon? One thing, oh, you know what, we're up in the hills, you know, and a few things happen. Wouldn't have been like that. They would have been so excited. And we read here a few other things. And all who heard it wondered, verse 18, at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Oh, that's a good word, pondering. She just took it in. This baby that's been born. You know, the angel Gabriel had told her big things, and now she's hearing it from the shepherds about this Jesus, and she's pondering. And then the next part of it, it says in verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Now, just going to say very briefly, instead of looking at everything in those verses, when you come to seek Jesus, and you come to find Jesus, and in actual fact, He finds you, really. What happens is three P words are active in your life. Did you pick up on three P words? You can't help but proclaim. Can't help but proclaim Jesus. You can't help but ponder. That's a good word, to ponder, to think, to treasure this incredible truth of who Jesus is and why He came into our world. Isn't that right? And you can't help but be full of praise to God. That's the other P word. Praising God. So if you are a genuine Christian, I want to challenge myself and you all, those three P words should be active in our life. Proclaiming and pondering and praising God. Is that true? Is that true in your life? That's how it's meant to be. Beautiful picture, another lovely picture. Okay, let's now move on to verses 21 to 24 of Luke chapter 2. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now what I want to emphasize in this section is submission and sacrifice. And I first of all want to look at Mary and Joseph. Look at their submission to what? Submission to God's law. They circumcised Jesus on the 8th day. That is according to the law that God had given the Jewish people. They submitted to it. They had submitted to the angel who said that you are to call the firstborn son, your firstborn son, what? Jesus. That is against custom. They should have called him Joseph or the name of a significant male from their families. But they called him Jesus, submitting to what the angel had said. Submitting. Submission. What do you think of that? And they're submitting to also in taking Jesus to the temple, going to Jerusalem and offering a sacrifice. And let's think of the word sacrifice. They're offering a sacrifice according to the law of God. And the sacrifice, by the way, that they offer for Jesus, being the firstborn, is a sacrifice that helps us understand that Mary and Joseph were poor people. A pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons was reserved for poor people. They weren't able to afford a lamb. They weren't able to afford something higher. So that means Jesus was born in a stable and born to poor parents. Do you get that? He chose that. Jesus, the Son of God, chose poverty over riches. He chose squalor compared to a palace. This is our Lord Jesus. And I see Mary and Joseph, look at the sacrifice that they are making. They're poor, but they're giving what they can, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that would have cost them a lot. For a poor person to give a sacrifice cost them a lot. Have you ever thought of how much it cost Mary and Joseph in sacrifice? Way before this, imagine the sacrifice that Mary had to bear before all her people being pregnant and not married. Imagine the sacrifice that Joseph would have made being engaged to Mary, knowing that she's pregnant and everyone's talking. There's a sacrifice there, a stigma. Yeah. Imagine the sacrifice that they had to make going 150 kilometres uphill to Bethlehem from Nazareth. A lot of sacrifice. So now I'm going to say something to you all. Submission and sacrifice, seen here, is exactly what characterises the Christian life. It's beautiful to receive Jesus, but we are to receive him by submitting to him and sacrificing our life to him. There's a cost, and that's why there are so many people who push Jesus away. And that's the battle I had when I was a teenager. I remember it well. But it's the very best thing to submit to him. And it's the very best thing to sacrifice my life to him, because he promises to look after me really, really, really well, to love me and care for me all my days. His ways are best, not my ways. And I have a home in heaven to go to. And besides that, I am submitting to the one who himself submitted fully. To think that he's being circumcised. He's the Son of God. But he allowed himself to be born a baby, to be born under the law, to be born a Jewish man. What submission by the Son of God. What submission when he lived his life in serving us. And submitting to dying on a cross for us sinners. What submission. I'm called to submit to Christ, but how much he submitted for my sake. And I'm called to sacrifice myself for Christ, not as a sacrifice like an animal sacrifice. Got to correct that. I'm still allowed to live. But it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. And as I call to live that out, I am conscious of him who sacrificed everything, sacrificed his life, who gave up his body to that cross to die for us, to bear our sins so that we can be forgiven. So when I get to see what Jesus has done, his submission and sacrifice, when I see the picture of Mary and Joseph submitting and sacrificing, I get it. This is my reasonable response when it comes to receiving Jesus, that I also submit to him and I sacrifice my life for him. But I gain everything by doing that, all because of Jesus. I love all these different pictures in the Bible. They're beautiful. Okay, now we're going to look at Simeon. So let me read to you verses 25 to 28. And I want you to picture what's going on here. And say you were Mary and Joseph's there too. How would you feel about this happening? Right, Luke chapter 2, 25 to 28. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God. So my first response is, for Mary, I feel for Mary, a stranger, right? He's a stranger. He just comes and takes baby Jesus out of her hands and grabs it. How would you feel about that? All right? And then I think of Simeon. Simeon, he takes hold of baby Jesus. And what about him? How's he feeling? He is feeling so delighted. So thrilled. Why is he so delighted and thrilled? Because he's come into the temple at that right time to see something so amazing. To see baby Jesus and to know that this is, what did you say? This is the Lord's Christ. That is, this is God's salvation for us. Wow. What do you think of this? Like, I just find it amazing how Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus are there in the temple. Simeon happens to be there at the right time. There's lots of babies that will be coming into the temple from time to time, and he just knows. He just knows that this Jesus is the one. It's incredible, isn't it? And then we come into what he says after that. And I'll read verse 28 again. Then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." What great words, awesome words that he shares. Do you sense them? How beautiful and awesome they are. And the first thing is like, he is ready to die. Do you see that first of all? "I'm ready to die, Lord. I am delighted to die because just as you said to me, I would see the Lord's Christ before I die, it's happened." He's ready to die. He's a happy Vegemite. That's an Australian expression, isn't it? Good expression. He is so delighted that this moment has come. He has seen the Lord's salvation. And look at all these words he shares. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Isn't this so wonderful? The Christian faith is like no other religion. It is God saving us. It is God giving us salvation, not us trying to be save ourselves by good works and by religious activity. God has a salvation for you and I. It's in Jesus. And Simeon gets to see this. This Jesus, I can't get over. He's seeing a baby, little baby, and he sees this is the Lord's salvation. The Lord's salvation for me, for everyone. This is the one who would save us. Who would save us from our sins. Who would save us from the judgment of God. Who would bring us into glory. He could see that. What sight? Simeon's sight is beautiful. And look what else. He sees something else. In the next few verses, we see that he knows, with his beautiful sight, he knows that this Jesus is for all peoples. To the Jewish person, there are two groups of people only. Heathen Gentiles and the Jews. And Simeon speaks of the Gentiles, which is what you mob are normally are all at. Except for a few of you who might have Jewish blood. We're Gentiles. And what's a Gentile? A Gentile is a person who has not had the privilege to be under the covenants of God. Who haven't got that history of God's intervention in their lives. We are a people, it says in Ephesians 2, who are living without hope and without God. We're in absolute darkness, following other gods, following our own ways, being secular and all those things. That's a Gentile. And Simeon says that this baby Jesus would be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. They're beautiful words. Jesus would be our light. He would come into the Gentile world. His gospel would go to the Gentile world and his light would dispel the darkness that we're in. We would see this God, the God of all people, the God who loves us, the God who's provided a salvation for all people through faith alone in Christ. That should be music to our ears. All people, including us Aussies, or wherever we've come from, there is a beautiful salvation for all people. Jesus would be a light of revelation, a light to reveal the wonder of God and his love for us. But also, Jesus would be a glory for his people, from his human lineage is Jewish, for his people. And what glory he was. If only the Jews, and not all the Jews were like this, very few were actually, if only their eyes were open, it was all glory. Here is the one. Here's the one that God promised in our scriptures to send. The Christ, the Messiah. Here is the one born of the line of Abraham, born of the line of David. Here is the one. All glory. Sadly, most Jews missed it. But there were those like Simeon who saw it. What glory it was for them to have, in terms of his human lineage, this man called Jesus, and yet he's also the Son of the living God. Our Creator, our God, dwelling amongst us. What glory! A light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for his people Israel. The bottom line is Jesus has come to bless all people, to save all people. And here are the big things. No matter how bad and wicked we have been, even if we've committed the worst crimes, unthinkable crimes, Jesus can save you. And he can also save the self-righteous, arrogant person too. He's able to save all. And Simeon has the joy to declare these things. Now I'm going to do a little aside now and say to you, when I look at these first two chapters of Luke, there is something that is just ringing in my head about these two chapters. I know these two chapters are about the birth of Christ, Jesus coming into our world. But someone else is being mentioned right through these two chapters. What caused Simeon to know that before he would die, he would see the Lord Christ? What caused him to have this clear view of Jesus, to see beyond the little baby, to see that this is our salvation? What about in Luke chapter 1? What caused little baby John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth jumping for joy? What caused Elizabeth to burst forth with incredible words to Mary? What caused Mary to burst forth in praise to God? What caused Zacharias, when he finally could speak, remember he wrote the name John on a tablet, and he could finally speak, and he speaks such amazing words about who Jesus is and why he came, and who John would be, the forerunner to Jesus. What's common with all that? Who's been seen right through Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2? The Holy Spirit. And I want to finish on this today as this last point, as we enter a brand new year. I see the emphasis of the Holy Spirit. And I've got to tell you, friends, the Holy Spirit is the best news out. He's everything. Let me put it to you like this. None of us would ever seek Jesus and find Jesus were it not for the Holy Spirit. None of us would ever submit and sacrifice our life to Jesus were it not for the Holy Spirit. None of us would ever see clearly like Simeon did. We'd never see Jesus properly. We'd never see his wonder and glory and be drawn to him were it not for the Holy Spirit. He's everything. He's the second great gift of God. The first great gift is Jesus himself who came to save us. The second great gift is the Holy Spirit who helps us to come to know Jesus personally and to be saved. And as I think of this new year beginning tomorrow, I can't help but think of, I just want to know Jesus more and I want to have God's Spirit, like we see in Simeon, fill my soul and being. Later on in Luke's Gospel, Jesus will say these words. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now just to clarify this, if we're not a Christian yet, we receive the Holy Spirit straight away when we turn to Jesus. And actually the Holy Spirit's been helping us get there, and then he comes to dwell inside us. But if we are a Christian already, we are to constantly be asking God to fill us with his Spirit. It's the Spirit who gives us such a seeking heart, such a submissive heart, and such wonderful sight. And if we're not walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, we are a very poor Christian. We're walking as if we're half blind. And my great joy would be for all of us to be filled with that Spirit, the same Spirit who dwelt in Simeon. What do you reckon? How beautiful that would be. And I thank the Lord for helping me see that as we come to the end of the sermon for this year. It's easy to miss that, but yeah, right through Luke 1 and 2, God's Spirit is being mentioned. And we're going to sing a song now that's about the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful, prayerful song. And as we stand and sing this, may we sing it prayerfully. It is entitled Holy Spirit. Our Father, thank you so much for the great gift of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for the great gift of the Holy Spirit who has been working in our world from the very beginning. And we thank you that the reason why Simeon could see so clearly, the reason why he had no fear of death, the reason why he was able to take hold of Jesus and look beyond that little baby to see your salvation for us is because of your Spirit. And for anyone who's a genuine Christian, we know that we have not come by accident into your kingdom. We have not come by accident to know Jesus. It's by your Holy Spirit moving in our heart and life, opening our eyes to see. And we are absolutely indebted, Father, to your Spirit moving and working in our life. And we just want that work to continue into 2024, where there would be no barriers being put up by ourselves. That we would be putting to death our sinful nature and allowing the beautiful new nature, the Holy Spirit, to live powerfully his life in us. May we become a beautiful people, filled with peace and joy and contentment, looking unto Jesus. And Father, we want to say thank you that the coming of the Holy Spirit into our hearts was all because of Jesus. Thank you for him dying for us and rising again and sending the Spirit into our hearts when we turn to him. So Lord, I just can't help but say thank you. I want to have the same eyes that Simeon has, and I want that for all your people here. I want to have that same joy that John had in the womb, bouncing for joy because of the Spirit. Lord, may it be that we be a different people for the glory of your name. May we see glorious things for the glory of your name, even today and into the year ahead. So, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And before you sit down, Sunday, last day of the year, we're going to sing a doxology, a benediction. What a benediction. That very simple one, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We'll sing it through twice.